Please get your Bibles, and we want to read three passages, all related to each other. The first one is Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. Let's read God's Word. Matthew chapter 12, verses 28 through 32. Jesus speaking here, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you," and listen now please, "every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." And then let's read Luke chapter 12. Verse 10. Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Luke 12, verse 10. "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." And then Mark chapter 3, which is our main text for tonight's message, again still related to the other two passages, Mark chapter 3, and then we will start with verse 22 down to verse 30. "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying," he, referring to Jesus, "he is possessed by Beelzebul and by the prince of demons. He casts out demons. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house." And then gives special attention to verses 28, 29, and 30, please. "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they were saying, he has an unclean spirit." May the Lord bless the reading of His own word. What I will do in this message is look at the kind of sin that will not and cannot be forgiven, namely the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This kind of sin is what we call the unpardonable sin. Let's read Mark chapter 3, verse 29 again. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. In other words, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a sin that cannot be forgiven. What I will do in my remaining time is give you 7 observations about this unforgivable sin. 7 observations. Here's the first one. This sin is against the Holy Spirit. Now notice, Mark chapter 3 verse 29 does not say, whoever blasphemes against God the Father. Nor does it say, whoever blasphemes against the Son of God. No. Instead, it specifically says, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this kind of sin is specifically a sin against the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. As Luke says in chapter 12, verse 10, we read this earlier, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So this sin is a sin against the third person of the Trinity. Second observation. This sin is described as blasphemy. You may ask, what is blasphemy? Well, interestingly, in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, Luke says, and please notice the parallel here. So Luke says, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So what is blasphemy? Well, in this context, in Luke and then even in Matthew and in Mark, to blaspheme means to speak a word against. So to blaspheme the Holy Spirit means to speak evil of Him. And therefore we can say that blasphemy is a verbal sin. This sin is a sin in the form of words. You say it. It's more of what you say against the Holy Spirit. Not actually what you do, like not an action, but what you say when you speak evil of the Holy Spirit. Third observation. My last observation will be the climax will be the main point of this message. Third observation. This sin is committed, and listen now please, when you accuse Jesus of doing His work by the power of Satan rather than by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. This is very important. I don't want you to miss this. This sin is committed when you accuse Jesus of doing His work by the power of Satan rather than by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to read verse 28 again of Mark chapter 3. Please read Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Truly I say to you, says Jesus, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. And then Jesus continues to say, for they were saying, he, and if you notice, it's a quote, he, that is Jesus, he has an unclean spirit. Now the question is this, who are those who are saying that Jesus has an unclean spirit? Well, we see, or let's see the context. In verses 10 and 11, in chapter 3, Jesus healed many people and cast out unclean spirits. Then according to verse 22, look at verse 22, the scribes accused Jesus of driving out demons by the power of Satan. Let me read verse 22. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he, that is Jesus, is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. Now, what an accusation that is. Imagine the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They say to Jesus, we know why you were able to cast out those demons, those evil spirits. You cast out those demons by the power of Beelzebul, which is another word for Satan. You are possessed by Satan. And the reason why you were able to perform that kind of miracle was because of the power of Satan, by the power of the prince of demons. And then notice the response of Jesus in verse 23. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? What a response to the scribes. Listen, scribes. You are accusing me of being possessed by Satan. And you think that I cast out demons by the power of the devil. Now listen, don't you realize, will Satan cast out himself? It doesn't make sense. And then, verse 28. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemes they utter, or blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they were saying he has an unclean spirit. So my question is this, what then is the unpardonable sin? When is it that you commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the answer. Listen now, please. You commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit when you charge Jesus with having an unclean spirit. Or to use the words of verse 22, you commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit when you accuse Jesus of being possessed by the devil. Or when you accuse Jesus of performing miracles by the power of Satan. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may ask, well, why then does Jesus refer to this sin as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit if this is a sin against him? That's a good question. Why? Because Jesus performed all his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of Satan. And so, when the scribes accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan, They were saying by implication that, or they were attributing by implication the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And that is blasphemy. When you attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan. Because it was not Satan who helped Jesus cast out demons. It was not by the power of Satan that Jesus cast out demons. It was by the power of the Spirit. And so when you say that that was the work of Satan, really what you are saying is the Holy Spirit is Satan. You are calling the Holy Spirit Satan. That is blasphemy. To say that Jesus cast out demons by Satan is an insult to the Holy Spirit. Because it was by the Holy Spirit that Jesus cast out demons. To give the credit to Satan rather than to the Holy Spirit is a blasphemy. It is an utter disrespect to call the work of the Holy Spirit the work of Satan. That's blasphemy. And according to Jesus, that kind of sin cannot be forgiven. And here's my fourth observation. This sin is an eternal sin. Eternal sin. Notice what Jesus says in verse 29, Mark chapter 3, verse 29. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Imagine that. You will never be forgiven because you have committed an eternal sin. Sin that cannot be forgiven here in this world or in the world to come. No forgiveness for you if you have committed this kind of sin. Now, again, you may ask, why is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit an eternal sin? Why eternal sin? The simple answer is this. Because this kind of sin is satanic. Satanic. It is very demonic. And we know that there is no forgiveness for Satan. There is no forgiveness for the demons. I remember when I was in the Philippines, someone was praying for the conversion of Satan. He said, imagine if Satan would be converted, then everything would be okay because the source of evil will disappear, will be changed. But there is no forgiveness for Satan. And all those who followed him, the fallen angels, the demons, the evil spirits, there is also no forgiveness for them. They have committed an eternal sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is an eternal sin. Satanic. No forgiveness. 1 John chapter 5 verse 16 says, there is sin that leads to death. And this is it. The sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That kind of sin leads to eternal death. Fifth observation. This sin is committed deliberately and willfully. I want you to read Mark chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We did not read this in our scripture reading, but this will help us better understand our message. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered or crippled hand. And they, that is the Pharisees, watched Jesus to see whether he could heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. In the original, clause here, so that they might accuse him, that implies intentionality. The Pharisees, they are watching Jesus. Let's see if Jesus is going to heal that crippled man on the Sabbath day. Let's see. So that they can accuse him intentionally. So this kind of sin is committed intentionally, deliberately, willfully. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not a sin which one can commit by accident or without knowing it. Those who have committed this kind of sin are aware of what they are doing, but unfortunately, they are spiritually insensible. Indeed, so insensible that they take pride and delight in what they have done against the Holy Spirit. Someone said, this sin is a continued and obstinate rejection of the gospel, and hence is an unpardonable sin, simply because as long as a sinner remains in unbelief, he voluntarily excludes himself from pardon. People who have committed this kind of sin don't even want to be prayed for. They are aware of what they are doing or what they have done, but they are so insensible. Number six. Sixth observation. This sin cannot be committed by a true Christian. If you are a true Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot and you will not commit this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Yes, we believers in Christ, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, but grieving the Spirit is different from blaspheming against the Spirit. When we sin, we bring sorrow to our blessed Holy Spirit. We grieve Him. But if we are true Christians, our sin should also bring sorrow to us. We should also be grieved by our sin. If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot continue sinning against God. You cannot. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit will bother you, will convict you of your sin, like what He did to David. Remember David, when he committed adultery and murder. And listen to David's prayer in Psalm 51. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. You see, when there is sin, there is also sorrow over sin. We cannot enjoy sin. Yes? Yes, there is a sense that when we sin, we sin because we like it. We enjoy it. But if you are a true believer, I will challenge you. But of course, don't do it. I'm not trying to encourage you to sin. But you know yourself. If you are a true Christian, I don't even need to explain this to you, because you know exactly what I mean. You sin, and that sin will bother you because of the Holy Spirit, who will come to you with with conviction until you cry out to God and say, Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me from all my sin. That's why be concerned if you do not grieve or sorrow over your sin. Be concerned if you don't have that sense of conviction of sin. Be concerned. Be concerned if you are sinning, if you are living in sin, and there is no conviction within you, be concerned. Be concerned if you can just keep sinning, continue in sinning and sinning, and you think that everything is okay, be concerned. Something is wrong with you. Because if you are a true believer, you will cry out and come to God for repentance. You will be like this prodigal son. You will return to your father. You will ask for forgiveness. Now, perhaps some of you are afraid, thinking that maybe, you have committed this kind of sin, this unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Maybe as you're listening to this message, now you're scared. What if I have committed this sin? What if? Well, if there is that fear in you, that means you have not committed this kind of sin. Because those who have committed this sin have no slight of fear. If I may illustrate my point, it's like this, boys and girls. Let's say you see two persons lying on the floor. There is one person here lying on the floor, and then there's another one here lying on the floor. And you have a bag or sack of rice, maybe 50 pounds, and you put that sack of rice, 50 pounds, that's heavy, on the top of this person, on his belly. And you did the same, you also put one sack of rice, 50 pounds, on this person. Now, this one is crying for help. Help! Help! And he's struggling. He wants to push that bag of rice. He's struggling. He's not content. He's not comfortable. He knows something is wrong. But the other one is not moving. There is no struggle. Absolutely nothing. No movement. And that's because that person is dead. The other one is alive. And here's my point. If there is that struggle within you, you struggle with sin, that's actually a good sign. That means there is spiritual life in you brought by the Holy Spirit. There is regeneration. That means you are born again. Just like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. He was bothered by that burden on his back. That load of his sin. Why was he bothered? Because the Holy Spirit had already worked in his heart. He was already born again. And when he came up to that cross, there he experienced that full assurance of forgiveness and pardon and salvation. If I may illustrate again my point, if you are pregnant, let's say 8 months pregnant, and there is no movement in your belly, be concerned. Something is wrong. If there is no movement for weeks, you need to call your doctor right away. But if there is movement, be thankful. Because that is a sign of life. That there is life within you, in your belly. And so, if you are concerned, if you are afraid, scared, maybe I have committed this kind of sin. Well, the very reason that you are scared, afraid, means that you have not. Because if you have committed, you will not even care. You will not even pay attention to this kind of message. You will not experience conviction of sin. You will not bother ask for forgiveness. And so, again, I stress, this sin cannot be committed by a true Christian. And here's my last point. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the only kind of sin that cannot be forgiven. All other sins can be forgiven. Now, I want you to read again Mark chapter 3, verse 28. And listen carefully to what Jesus says here. So Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, all sins, not some, but all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter." In the original, the word truly is amen. And when you see amen at the beginning of a statement, that means reinforcement or emphasis. What Jesus is saying is this: truly, amen, amen, I can indeed forgive all your sins. I assure you, I can forgive you all your sins. I'm telling you the truth. All sins. Of course, except this one, the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But are we not thankful to God that our God is willing and able to forgive all our sins? All our sins. If you transgress all the Ten Commandments, let's say you have other gods before Him, you are guilty of idolatry, you are not faithful to God, your unfaithfulness can be forgiven. Let's say you made for yourself a carved image and you bowed down to that false and you served that idol. Let's say you have an idol in your life. And what is an idol? But anything that becomes more important than God. It could be your job, maybe your family, whatever you have that becomes more important than God. But now listen to this, that kind of sin, the sin of idolatry can also be forgiven. Yes, you took God's name in vain. That sin also can be forgiven. Let's say you don't observe the Sabbath day. You don't keep it holy. You ask for forgiveness, that sin can be forgiven. Let's say you disrespected, you dishonored your parents. That sin can be forgiven. Let's say you committed murder. Maybe in your mind, because the Bible says everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You committed murder in your mind. That kind of sin can be forgiven. Maybe at one point in your life, you aborted your unborn baby. That kind of sin can be forgiven. Taking one's own life can be forgiven. Suicide can be forgiven. Murder, all kinds of murder can be forgiven. Maybe you committed adultery, like what David did. That sin of adultery, unfaithfulness to your wife, can be forgiven also. Maybe you stole money, that can be forgiven. You bore false witness, that can be forgiven. You coveted, that sin can be forgiven. That's what Jesus says. All sins, truly, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven. And really, the emphasis here is on all pardonable sins, not on that one that is unpardonable, which is the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But the tendency is this. We have this tendency to focus on our misery rather than on God's mercy. That's our nature. But as one song says, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. How much sin do you have right now? Maybe you think that you are the most sinful member of this congregation. It doesn't matter. You bring all your sins before God, ask for forgiveness, God will forgive you. Remember David, who committed murder. He committed adultery. Really, he transgressed all the Ten Commandments. But he asked for forgiveness and he was forgiven. God cleansed him from all his iniquities. He was forgiven. You know, sometimes we think that of all the sins that we commit that exist in this world, we think that probably the sin of adultery and the sin of murder probably are the two almost like unpardonable sins. No. Even those sins can be forgiven. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, and I really like this. I like what Jesus says here in verse 28. Look at verse 28. So he says, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. Whatever blasphemies. You may not realize this, that at one point in your life, you blasphemed God or against God. But Jesus says, whatever blasphemies you have committed against me, against God, all those blasphemies can be forgiven. Again, except that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Remember Paul. Who was Paul before his conversion? How does Paul describe his pre-converted life? How? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Paul, the Apostle Paul, yes, the Apostle Paul was once a blasphemer. But he says, but I received mercy. God forgave me. God cleansed me from all my sins. I am what I am by the grace of God, because God's grace is greater than all my sins, all my sin of blasphemies. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Paul blasphemed God. He blasphemed against Jesus. He reviled Jesus. He spoke evil of Jesus. And think of what Jesus said while He was on the cross of Calvary. People blasphemed against Him. They reviled at him. They mocked him. They spoke evil of him. They ridiculed him. But what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. There is forgiveness. for the vilest sinner on earth. And so I say this to you, a true Christian does not focus on verse 29, on one sin that cannot be forgiven. A true Christian focuses on verse 28, on all sins that can be forgiven. My prayer is that as you are listening to this message, my intention is not for you to focus on the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Really, what I want you to realize this evening is that all sins can be forgiven. Jesus says, truly, I'm telling you the truth. Yes, all blasphemies that you have uttered against me, Jesus says, I can forgive all those sins. I can. I don't want you to focus on that one unpardonable sin, but on all sins that can be forgiven. But again, sometimes, if not oftentimes, we are like our first parents. We are like Adam and Eve. What did they do? Instead of focusing on the other trees, of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, they focused. They became more interested in that tree which was in the midst of the garden. They became more interested in God's prohibition rather than in God's provision. It's like maybe if we hired someone to repaint this sanctuary. So someone painted this building. And then afterwards we saw one spot that was not painted, maybe about a size of a quarter. And now all our attention goes to that. Listen, look what a horrible painter he is. Look, there is a hole there, unpainted. What a terrible chapel we have. Instead of enjoying the rest of the beauty of this sanctuary, now we are like that. Instead of focusing on God's grace, we focus on our guilt. Instead of rejoicing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and just thanking Him for what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, what do we do? We focus on what? Our guilt, our sin, our misery. Oh, there's no hope for me. I'm a terrible sinner. That's not the message that we have here in our passage. We don't want to focus on the unpardonable sin, but on all sins that can be forgiven. And really the issue is this. Jesus is telling us, truly I say to you. You know what he's saying? Don't doubt my words. All sins can be forgiven. Whatever blasphemies you utter can be forgiven. The question is this, do you really believe that? And you know what's fascinating is that every Sunday we recite the Apostles' Creed. And one of the things that we confess in the Apostles' Creed is what? I believe in the forgiveness of what? Sins. But I sometimes wonder if we really believe that. Do we really believe that? That God is able and is willing to forgive us. As John the Beloved says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Do you really do? And another question is this. Have you already experienced that complete remission of all your sins? Have you? In a cemetery not far from New York City is a headstone engraved with a single word, forgiven, forgiven. The message is simple. There is no date of birth. There is only a name and the single word, forgiven. But that is the greatest word that can be applied to any man or woman or written on any gravestone. That when you die someday and people see your grave, yeah, I know that person. Yeah? Oh yeah, he was a terrible person. She was a terrible person. He was a sinner. She was a sinner. But he or she was forgiven. It doesn't matter. Forgiven. Your first sin and your last sin, all forgiven, all buried in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So buried. All your sins are now drowned in the blood of Jesus that even God Himself cannot see them. That's why your sins are not just forgiven, but also forgotten. Gone. Gone. What God now sees in you if you are in Christ is the holy blood of His Son. Again, the question is, do you have the blood of Jesus? Do you have forgiveness? Have you already experienced indeed that absolute, complete remission of sin? Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you, oh God, because your word tells us that all sins can be forgiven. Yes, there is one sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but you don't want us to focus on that sin, but to focus on your grace, on your mercy, on your willingness to forgive us. Oh Lord, what a God you are. What a God we serve. Help us that as we reflect on your mercy, we will indeed sing, "Praise the Lord, His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.